Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
We are 2 weeks away from the end of the Easter season. Pentecost is upon us. We reflect on this birthday of the church, the beginning of the mission, united by the Holy Spirit. The apostles gathered together are sent forth by the fire of God's love, leaving the confines of the locked upper room and their concerns for their safety. They're so inflamed with love for neighbor that they go forth and risk their lives, and they truly do risk their lives. So many of them do lose their lives eventually, so as to bring others to salvation. Our readings are a reflection on that power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can see the Holy Spirit, that we can come to appreciate how much we need the Holy Spirit that unites us, that sanctifies us, that becomes an advocate for us, that teaches us truth, reminds us of what Jesus has taught, that leads us to the kingdom. That first reading, we've been reading the Acts of the Apostles all throughout the Easter season, and it's so inspiring to see how the Holy Spirit just works and leads and guides them. They have no plan. And even when things go miserably wrong, the Holy Spirit just uses it. It's a persecution, it scatters that early class of deacons. So driven by the persecution, they go everywhere. And what do they take with them? They take the gospel. So here's the deacon, Philip, baptizing Samaritans. It's a sign of the gospel already spreading out, moving beyond Jerusalem, moving beyond the confines of Israel, going out to be a light to the nations. But deacons don't confirm. And so when the apostles go through that region, they realize that there's baptized Christian Samaritans. Okay, you haven't been confirmed yet. They lay hands on them. They call it the Holy Spirit. The apostles are the early bishops of the church. They invoke the Holy Spirit. They're confirmed in the faith. St. Peter writes in that second reading, talking about that witness, to give the witness of your lives. This is a good one to know. 1 Peter 3:15. Always have a ready explanation for your faith in Christ. When you encounter people, they're like, well, why are you Christian? Why are you Catholic? Don't you know better? Always have a ready explanation. But there's scandals, but there's failures. Yeah, amen. Oh yeah, the devil's always lurking around somewhere. But it's the power of Christ to be able to give your witness of how Christ has worked through the faith, our Catholic Christian faith, how we've encountered God's mercy and God's love and God's friendship. And yes, there have been scandals and there's been failures and all of that. We're all sinners. And yet, the beauty of it and the confirmation of it is that God has written straight on all of these crooked lines, right, in our own sinfulness and imperfectness, and raised up all of these saints and shown us so much grace and mercy, even despite sinful instruments. I think that's the true confirmation of the true presence of Christ active in the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding it. You're right, if this was a human enterprise, it would have failed epically a long, long, long time ago. Always have an explanation. What has the Lord done for you, right? What's your 30 seconds? Somebody asks, what has the Lord done for you? Come Holy Spirit, right? Let's give that witness. Let's give that testimony. Always be ready to say something, something to inspire. How has the Lord changed your life, answered your prayers? Why are you still here? Why are you still here? Always good to have that answer. And we come to the gospel again, also talking about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus at his farewell discourse at the Last Supper. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time with them, but he's always going to be there with them. Why? Because he's going to send his Holy Spirit to lead him, to guide him, to be an advocate, to lead him to all truth, to remind him, and to be that unitive force, to sanctify them, to be an indwelling power of God, that they're united to the Father and the Son in the Spirit, to be with them always until the end of the world, right? So, we are gifted with this tremendous power of God, this indwelling of God. And how we need it? We need it for the mission. But first and foremost, you know, you can't give what you don't have. First and foremost, we need the indwelling power of God. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit and to be renewed in the Spirit and to stir up in flames, right? The flames of that divine love. Stir those graces, right? Stir them up. If we've not really called upon them, if we've let them lay dormant, stir into flame that gift of the Holy Spirit, that we will be on fire with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be united in the Holy Spirit, that we can go forth, right? Because we can't give what we don't have, so we'll be alive in the Spirit. And that's the beauty of Pentecost, is the beauty of that Pentecost novena, which begins this Friday, that we invoke the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. It's not just for Pentecost. We really do need the Holy Spirit each and every day. You know, this is John chapter 14, this gospel, John chapter 14. And in that same section of that farewell discourse in the middle of John's gospel, as Jesus is discussing things with the apostles at the Last Supper, he's asked, we don't know the way. We don't know where to follow you. We don't know where you're going. Show us the way. And Jesus' response is simple, I am the way, right? How do you find the kingdom? I'm not going to give you physical descriptions like put this into your GPS. Four blocks down, turn left, you're going to go around the bend. It's not like that. Right? Who gets us to the kingdom? Jesus. Who forgives our sins? Jesus. Right? Who suffered and died for us? Jesus. In whose name are we baptized? I am the way. Follow me. Stay close to me. And what unites us in the Spirit, right? The Spirit is what unites us in the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. We need that. Who leads us? Who helps us to stay close to Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. So we do need the Spirit. We need the Spirit daily. And sometimes we can kind of forget that. It's easy to forget that. A beautiful thing to practice, you know, again, as we think about the season of grace and Pentecost, to call on the Spirit and get used to calling on the Spirit daily in our prayer. Whenever we encounter something that we need a little help and guidance with, which should be pretty much everything, right? Our work life, our home life, our marriages, our family difficulties, our unanswered questions, our discernment of which course do we take? Do we go down this road or that? Come, Holy Spirit. And it can be that simple. You don't really need a fancy prayer. God doesn't require fancy prayers. It's beautiful when we have them. They're eloquent. They do teach us. A good prayer is didactic. It teaches you how to pray. There's a lot to be gained and learned from a well-crafted prayer. But when you're invoking the Holy Spirit, it can be as simple as, come Holy Spirit, lead me, O Lord, guide me. Come Holy Spirit, show me the way. Those simple prayers that we can just, under our breath, invoke the Spirit. I'm not sure what to do here. I have to have a difficult conversation. Come Holy Spirit, right? Got to talk to the boss. Come Holy Spirit. Got to talk to a difficult, you know, relationship. Come Holy Spirit. Not sure what to do here. Come Holy Spirit. Anything you need, come Holy Spirit, right? Invoke the Holy Spirit. Invite the Spirit to lead and guide you, to be that fire of divine love, to help you to say what you need to say and to say it with great love and truthfulness, to be a light unto your feet. So getting used to, again, repracticing invoking the Holy Spirit throughout the day. Get into that habit. Come, Holy Spirit. Invoke the Spirit with frequency. But secondly, then let's discern where the Holy Spirit really is guiding us. You know, the challenge, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we speak of the Spirit as a wind, as a breath of life, the Ruah, right? The breath of God. It's hard to see wind. Wind is pretty invisible, unless it's acting on something. So if you want to see if it's windy out, look at the flagpole, look at the trees. Do you see the leaves moving to and fro? Okay, well, it's windy out. You see the action of the wind on things. So it is in the with the Holy Spirit, and that's why we pay attention to the fruits of the Spirit. If you really read Galatians chapter 5, you'll get 9 out of the 12 fruits that the church names. 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, mildness, self-control, chastity. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. When the Spirit is operative, those fruits, that's the fruitfulness. And so that's what you look for. How do you know where the Spirit's leading you, where the Spirit's working? Look for the fruits. That's what it's like watching the wind blow the leaves around. It helps you to see the invisible. So we invoke the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, not sure what to do here. And then we look for, as we pray, the fruits of the Holy Spirit acting on us, on our hearts, on our minds, on our souls. And the three easiest to discern are love, peace, and joy. Love, peace, and joy. Those are if you want to see a real visceral change, love, peace, and joy, right? When you're praying about it. Okay, Lord, I got a decision. Do I go down path A or path B? Well, pray about it. Just kind of imagine yourself, right? Well, what would my life look like if I take this journey, if I take that journey? Sit with it and pray with it. As you're praying about it and kind of imagining, okay, well, where will this road take me? Where will that road take me? Do you find that as you pray about one of those options, do you find that there's a greater peace, that the anxiety suddenly subsides? Pay attention to that. That's not accidental, right? You're nervous. You got to change. You've got a decision. You should be nervous. You should be anxious. And then all of a sudden, it just comes to calm. When you think about that answer, it just melts away, the anxiety. Pay attention to that. That's not accidental. Those are like the little batting signals, real subtle hints that maybe the Spirit's nudging you in that direction. When you think about one of those options, do you just feel like your heart is inflamed with love? Not lust, not pleasure, love, sacrificial love. That if I go this route, that it's going to be an opportunity for me to give of my life to God and neighbor. Okay, pay attention to that. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or joy, not pleasure, not happiness, but just joy, like your heart just leaps. Even if it's a scary option. When I was discerning priesthood, I could feel joy about that. It's a scary option, but there was joy. If you can have joy and be scared at the same time, that's kind of interesting, right? There's something about that. Pay attention. Fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, and joy. That's what you're kind of looking for, as you sort of pray about, what option do I take? Where do I go? These are my options. When you pray about those, do you see those fruits of the Holy Spirit? Pay attention to that. Sit with it for a minute. Don't rush into it, but sit with that for a minute. If that's consistently your experience as you think about option A, B, or C, maybe that's the Spirit talking to you, sort of guiding you, nudging you along, that this is where God is preparing the way for you. That love, peace, and joy will be yours when you go down this path, not the anxiety of the world. So invite the Holy Spirit into all of your decision-making throughout the day, no matter how small. Come, Holy Spirit. Can't hurt to have a little guidance, right? In all things, big and large, and big and small. And then the same thing. Then discern, where's the Holy Spirit? Look for the fruits. Love, peace, and joy. Makes it easy. And then, of course, lastly, the third thing, very Trinitarian, is we got to step out in faith. The Lord says, hey, if you love me, do what I command. If the Lord's calling us to something, then step out in faith. Give it a leap of faith. Give it a try. Be obedient to that call. Give it a try. And let's face it, all discernment is more art than science. But if you're stepping out in faith to do the Lord's will and you muck it up, will not the Lord make it up to you and get you back on the right path? Right? Absolutely. Why should you be afraid? If you're stepping out in faith and you're trying to do the Lord's bidding and you get it wrong, trust the Lord's going to make it up to you. It's not going to punish you. You stepped out in faith. That was a bold move. And oftentimes when you step out in faith, you're leaving something behind. You're leaving the familiar, the comfortable behind. You're taking a risk. There is a certain detachment required to do that, a certain humility required to step out of your comfort zone, to leave something else behind that you're more comfortable with. The Lord's going to make it up to you if you mess that up. Trust that. He'll get you back on the path. You're stepping out in faith. That's a beautiful thing. So come, Holy Spirit. We'll pray for the Holy Spirit to be stirred into flame in our lives, to draw us closer to God each and every day, to lead us, to guide us, to be an advocate for us in our prayers, in our needs, and also to help us to give that witness of our lives. And when people ask, well, why are you Christian? Come on, can't you, you know, you have all these rules and the morality and, you know, you could just be doing whatever you feel. That the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say, that's kind of overrated, isn't it? You know, you can do whatever you feel. That gets old real quick and often gets you into a lot of hurtful and destructive behaviors real quick. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I've been following the Lord for these years and I've found a peace that the world can't give. May the Holy Spirit give you the words, whatever that would be, however you would say it best. It's got to come from you. It's got to come from your heart. That's going to be most convincing. May we give the witness of our lives to those that the Lord places before us, that they too may come to know God's love, God's mercy, and that breath of life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.